This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
What a voice that guy had. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my partner, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us and making it through the week to Friday. It's July the 9th today, and we're going to be talking in a few minutes with Will Reinhart of the Center for Growth and Opportunity. And we're going to talk about Donald Trump's lawsuit against Facebook and Twitter for violating his freedom of speech. So stay tuned for that. Should be interesting. And CPAC. Remember CPAC, Conservative Action Committee? They're opening today in Dallas with big-name conservatives on the docket, including Donald Trump heading there. We're going to get some thoughts about that and a host of other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. And did you hear about the New York Times? They are really under fire. They are backing the idea of teaching, quote, pornography literacy to first graders. Can you believe that? Nothing like starting out a kid's life with stuff like that in first grade. We're going to talk about it. And in our Ultimate Top 10, we continue with the strangest town names in every state. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is located in Dunedin in this very cute little shopping plaza called the Overcash Plaza. It's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Call for your appointment. Gotta call for your appointment first. Dial 727-733-3773. By the way, they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. And I hope you were listening to Good Morning Clearwater just before our show. They are on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, can't think of a better couple to listen to start off your day. All right, well, I've been worried for a while about the stock market, and it's staying up there. I must be, I'm surprised to say. There are always a host of factors that contribute to whether the stock market rises or falls. But I'm very worried about the overspending that our country has been doing. When you are talking trillions of dollars instead of billions of dollars, you know something is wrong. Well, stocks were under pressure yesterday as the spreading of the variants of the COVID-19 sparked some concern. The Dow Jones plunged 256 points yesterday. And these are the kinds of things that scare me a little bit. Mainly the inflation situation going on right now. That really scares me. But NASDAQ, the S&P, the Dow Jones, they all fell. The sell-off steered people towards the bond market. As I've gotten older, you get more bonds. You know what I mean? And less stocks. They always tell you that. And I can't complain. Over the years, I've done very well in the stock market. Thank God I continued. The best advice I could ever give a young guy or a young lady or a young couple would be take a little bit of money every month and put it into a mutual fund. Even if it's only 50 bucks every month. Get it maybe one of those automatic withdrawals from your checking account. But do it. It's the best way to build up some sort of a reserve. You don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen with Social Security. But we do know that there is a real concern about where we're going to get the money. Also, record price gains across a large part of the economy left many investors bracing for these higher costs, inflation, causing them to overlook the growing threat of deflation. Deflation is another situation you got to worry about. Deflation, that's when prices go down, is viewed as a negative sign of the economy. While Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell insists that the recent surge in inflation is what he calls transitory, pointing to the more than 50% decline, for instance, in lumber, as evidence that prices will cool, he has not yet hinted that deflation is something to worry about. So if it isn't inflation, I guess it is deflation. But the economy is the one thing, more than anything else, I think, that I worry about with Biden in charge. He doesn't seem to have any reluctance to spend money everywhere where there's an issue. And that's always the Democratic mantra. And it never works, right? I mean, what are they going to do with all the crime going on across the country? They're going to send more money to these cities, Chicago and New York and Los Angeles. They're all going to get more money to fight crime, supposedly, when we know that that never does any good because the money never really gets to the things it's supposed to get to. And by the way, did you see that short meeting with the Chicago mayor and Biden as he landed, I guess it was at O'Hare Airport the other day? I'll bet Biden couldn't get away from her fast enough. Things are really going downhill in Chicago with crime. I think they had, if I'm not mistaken, 18 people were shot to death over the July 4th weekend. Think about that. Normally, have you ever heard of 18 people being shot in one city to death? There was over 100 acts of gun violence over the July 4th weekend. That's horrible.
I did see the comments from Mayor Lightfoot of Chicago, Beetlejuice, made comments that 99.9% of the criticism of her is because she's black and gay.
Yeah.
Not because of the crime.
Yeah, exactly. When people start hiding behind who they are, oh, you can't say that to me. I'm Jewish. No, I'm black. No, I'm gay. No, I'm Hispanic. No, I'm a woman.
Come on. When you get a politician
as
like
our buddy Bud would say, come on, man.
That person either needs drugs or needs to go see Dr. Phil, one or the other.
Is Dr. Phil still doing his show?
Sure he is, yeah.
He is, huh?
Yeah.
He's been on forever, hasn't he?
He sure has.
Yeah.
He's had some really good guests on there, too.
So you watch him from time to time?
Yeah, I've been on his show twice.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Ed was on.
I was making light about the great guests.
Dr. Phil's show. How long ago was that, Ed, that you were on the show now?
Was that...
Eight or 9 years ago now?
5 years.
Was it five?
I think it was 5 years
ago.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Mm.
I bet you enjoyed... Oh, you didn't enjoy maybe the topic, but you were very comfortable.
It was definitely an experience when you get to Hollywood... Weird would call Hollywood weird, you know?
Did you experience weirdness there?
Yeah, I mean, because we stayed right at... You know, you put us up in the Lowe's Hotel and... Right on Hollywood Boulevard there where it starts. And, you know, everybody is on the sidewalk trying to be an actor. It'll be recognized. And it's like a carnival out there.
I'll bet.
Step right up.
I'll bet it is.
And then the studio itself and the whole taping process and stuff. And you got to do...
And there was an audience there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, first couple of days, do a lot of back video, backstory and stuff where they take you somewhere. And they do some video interviews that they play during the show. And then you do the show... The show is taped, and then it airs at a different point.
Yeah.
Very interesting, my friend. You're just a big-time celebrity. Let's face it. Yeah, you are. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Will Reinhart of the Center for Growth and Opportunity, and we're going to talk about the Donald Trump lawsuit.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday here, FreedomWorks, and delighted to have back Will Reinhart. He is a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. And we're going to talk with Will about this lawsuit that former President Donald Trump has announced. It's going to be against the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter, Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey. And he is upset, and he's going after them for what he calls violating his First Amendment rights of free speech. Remember when they banned what he had to say? Now they're not only banning him, they're banning a lot of other conservatives. Will, welcome back to FreedomWorks.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think this is such an interesting topic. You make an excellent point, by the way. You were on C-SPAN recently. And I think you said something about digital adolescence. Digital adolescence. That's a perfect term. That's where we are right now in trying to figure out how to use the internet and all these platforms where people have an opportunity to express their views.
No, I think that's exactly right. We are in an age of digital adolescence, and I think we're kind of fumbling. We're making mistakes on how to do this, and it's probably going to take another decade or so to really figure out the best methods to deal with these large platforms and to give people power and to both hold them accountable as well as ensure that the First Amendment is protected.
Yeah. Look at how many people's careers, at least temporarily, have been screwed up by saying something on Twitter or Facebook and then being called for it. You know, people have lost their jobs at schools or all kinds of places because they will have, and maybe it wasn't even recently, they will have, something will be dredged up that they had said some years ago maybe, and it got on the internet, you know, and they're being held responsible. Go ahead.
This is exactly what I said also on C-SPAN, which is that we need to figure out what digital grace looks like. We need to figure out what atonement looks like in this new world, and that's something that I've been thinking a lot about in the last couple months and really the last year or so, especially since all these actions have come down by Twitter and Facebook. We really do need to figure out what atonement and grace looks like now, and that's something that is still gonna, I think it's gonna take some time and it's gonna take some maturity because I don't think a lot of people are there yet.
Yeah. So now we go to Donald Trump. Get over to Donald Trump, and he's got this class action lawsuit that he's announced he's going to file. He's filing it against the guys that run Facebook and Twitter. And I've always wondered, I mean, when I see one of those platforms suppressing somebody's thinking, unless it's just a rant of dirty words, I always think, why don't they allow the person to express his or her views? But then I think, well, you know what? It's like if I go into somebody's store, they own it. They can tell me whether I can stay or not. And I think, to some extent, does that rule apply here on the internet?
That very much does apply here on the internet. The big question and the big thing that we're really trying to understand with this Trump lawsuit is this relationship between these platforms and whether or not they're what's called state actors. So the First Amendment protects citizens and protects individuals and protects, you know, also corporations from government meddling. And what Trump is saying is that, well, these platforms were acting like the government, and they were actually limiting my ability to speak freely because I was a private citizen at the time on January 7th. So this case to me doesn't seem like it has legs. I think it's completely flipped. But, I think that there is obviously some, there's a much broader conversation here that's happening that Trump is obviously a part of. But I really worry that this case, I personally don't think it has too many legs. And much more, if Trump really wants to change the conversation, I think that there are things that you could probably do and probably argue for that would be much more transformative. You know, you could have these platforms basically open up their data, have portability, have interoperability, which is being discussed at the House right now in the House committees. And those things actually probably could have the effect of getting new voices in or allowing competition. So this First Amendment claim that Trump is making to me is really worrying because it to me seems that the case is backwards. But at the same time, it's like if you want to have those sorts of, you know, beneficial actions in the long term, if you want to try to hold these companies accountable, there are other better ways to do this than just necessarily go after the First Amendment.
Right. We're talking with Will Reinhardt. He is a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. And we're talking about Donald Trump's impending lawsuit against Twitter and Facebook for what he calls a violation of his free speech rights. You know, Will, I'm just thinking, let's say I sign up on Facebook and I get a password and away I go, right? I'm finally on there and I'm making a conversation with somebody else. And I start getting into maybe some politics or whatever, and I express a viewpoint. And then all of a sudden I hear that I've been flagged. I've been flagged. Okay, now I signed up. I'm doing what they said. I'm just holding a conversation with some other people. And yet all of a sudden I see that they've bleeped out what I said. Is that right?
Yeah, that does happen. I mean, that's been happening. There's a whole bunch.
Is that fair? Is what I meant. Is that fair?
No, I don't think it's fair at all. And that's something that I've been very critical of the platforms for not explaining to users why their information or their content is being flagged, and that's a very deep problem that they're trying to deal with. I don't think it's an easy problem, but it is very clear that yes, I do think that's unfair.
So, I mean, why can't we have free speech? Why can't they allow me to talk? Why are my free speech rights going to be violated because somebody on the other end of watching me that I'm not probably even referring my comments to has decided for whatever reason that what I just said is not right?
I mean, that is, for better or worse, that's the power that these platforms do have. They have the ability to determine what content goes over their platform. And to be clear, you know, I'm connected to the university, Utah State University, and we've been doing a lot of research in this space. And one of our researchers actually has some work that shows that content moderation actually does increase engagement. So that if you have kind of almost a limited amount of viewpoints or a limited amount of information that somebody consumes, that actually does increase the overall engagement with the platform. What this suggests to me is that there really is a clear benefit for these platforms to limit some sorts of speech, particularly spam and other things that they think that their consumers won't necessarily want. Now, the edge between what that looks like and political speech and if it's related to, say, you know, COVID or vaccines, all of those things are very, very difficult to suss out and really, really difficult to.
Yeah, but
who's in the right?
They present themselves as like, hey, We're the neighborhood gossip page.
Yeah.
Come on in. Join the group. Express your views, right? And all of a sudden, you join the group, express your views, but you find that your views are not really being as expressed as much as somebody else's views, because you might harbor a different political philosophy. I mean, I would leave the party at that point, I guess, if it was happening to me. But I would feel bad. I mean, I would feel viscerally bad that they're treating me like that.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a lot. That's an expression that I think a lot of people have, that they're not comfortable with what's happening on Facebook, and they're leaving, right? They're moving away from Facebook. They're moving into, say, private groups within Facebook, or they're moving to Slack, or they're moving to Discord servers, or, you know, they're moving to Parler. There's a whole bunch of other things that or perhaps they're moving to TikTok or Instagram. So to me, I still see this as a fairly dynamic market where people are, again, this is why I've been saying this is digital adolescence. I think this is still, we're still trying to figure out what this looks like. And to be very blunt, you know, Facebook's user growth has basically plateaued, and it's been going down over the last couple of years. So it's not as though they aren't feeling the pressure from individuals who are leaving their platform to go somewhere else.
Well, I think you actually come upon the answer with one word, as you said, competition. If you don't like the store, go to another store. You know, it's the same thing on the internet. Find another platform that you are comfortable with. Maybe if you have political viewpoints that are more endorsed by another platform, then maybe get over there, right? And away you go. Maybe that is really, really the answer. So I guess what you're saying, Will, is maybe Trump doesn't have much of a chance with his lawsuit. What do you think?
I don't think he has a chance with this one. No, it's an interesting lawsuit, and it's a really interesting argument. I don't think that the laws are really, or the Supreme Court is, to be blunt, I mean, Justice Kavanaugh said, I think it was 2 years ago now, that they're going to take a very, very hard line with these kinds of cases. So, and he's been very much, you know, he, along with all the other justices, have basically said, yeah, the kind of stuff that Trump is arguing, at least with this case, is probably not going to fly at the Supreme Court. And much of the lower courts say that effectively as well. So I don't see this case going too far, but I think that probably Trump probably could benefit from trying to develop his own platform. Could, you know, I mean, he has a lot of power. He has a lot of voice. Obviously, he's a former president. And using that and trying to figure out what that looks like, I think he could be quite powerful in, you know, in getting people congealed around a new network, something that he has a little bit more, you know, control over and is able to kind of change and shape. And, you know, if he really wants to have a really impact in Facebook and Twitter, he really should be going after their bottom lines. And I think that's probably the way to do that.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is that it's kind of like the airwaves law in television. You know, you have a right, or do you have a right to get on the airwaves, and away you go? Well, there is an assignment, of course, with television to certain broadcast signals. There were only a few handed out, and so you had to march and jump to the government's tune, not so much in the internet.
Yeah.
I mean,
and this is the legal, you've actually just highlighted the exact legal difference between the two. So the only reason why, at least in the past, that speech restrictions existed for broadcast was because there were a limited amount of assignments. There were limited spectrum slots. And because the internet is open, and because there are so many ways, because you're able to create a competitor, I think that's another reason why courts will be very, they won't really look, they will look down, or they won't really agree with Trump, because they see this entire history, and the history is very clear, at least. The law is that, you know, broadcast is limited, and so there is potentially a reason for having restricted speech, but the internet is effectively unrestricted, and so there are very limited reasons why the government needs to get involved.
Makes some sense. Well, I appreciate it very much, Will. Very interesting topic. Let's see what happens. Thank you so much. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Will Reinhart, Center for Growth and Opportunity, Utah State University. We're going to take our break. When we come back, CPAC is opening in Dallas today. Guess who's going to be there? Donald Trump. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, big Trump fan, Andrew Ceresi.
Honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank you so much for being with us. By the way, we have a new website. Now, it's the same ourfreedomworks.com, but it's a newer website. We just kind of getting used to it, getting it all set up. But go there. He's still going to be able to thank God for Ed. He's got our shows on podcast. Look for the podcast button. And they still have our little calendar. It's a Google calendar now, Ed, by the way, connected with Google. You go on there and click on the guest in the calendar, and it opens up, and it shows you what the topic will be in the whole bit. So Our Freedom Works is our website. Make sure you get over there. And thank God for Ed putting our little program on podcast. You can click on it, and away you go. By the way, we are on the air Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget that. Delighted to be here all over the Tampa Bay area and, of course, across the world on the Internet. All right. Well, CPAC, you know this is the second one. They had one in Orlando in February. But Republicans around the country converging on Dallas. Second consecutive conservative political action conference. Now, Donald Trump Jr. is going to be there. He'll be speaking today. On Sunday, the Donald Sr. will be there to talk. Lineup not quite as deep as it was in Orlando, but they got the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem. By the way, she's an up-and-comer. Now, if Trump were to run again, I wouldn't be surprised if Kristi Noem would be considered for his vice presidential running mate. You got Rick Scott there from Florida. That's another guy that's doing very well. I wonder if he could ever... I'm not sure he could ever become presidential material, but he's doing very well. And we got other people like Rick Grenell and the former acting attorney general, Matt Whitaker. Hey, we got the lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick from Texas, coming over there. So, you know, it'll be interesting. So we got the proprietor of the barber pole with us, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, we were talking before you came on with Will Reinhart, Center for Growth, about this lawsuit that Donald Trump has got going against Facebook and Twitter. And Will doesn't think that Donald has much of a chance getting it successfully done. What do you think?
Well, you know what I got to say for the professionals, Paul?
What?
I'm tired of what the professionals think, because so far the professionals have no common sense. They stuck their face in a book all their life, and that's all they know.
They don't know the real world.
Let me ask you a question, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What chances did our forefathers have, okay, during the Revolutionary War of beating the British?
Very, very small.
What happened?
We won.
All right. Need I say more?
No, you don't need to say more.
Okay. So much for the professional opinions, because you know what opinions are. I can't say it.
I know what it is. Opinions are like, I know what everybody's...
You know what else I got to say here, Paul? Today, I kind of had an awakening on the way home from taking care of my friend Jim.
Oh, okay.
Okay, did you notice that the storm was coming to Florida and everybody's packing up and the news is going crazy and we're going to get hit and Do you know that night my wind chimes and my pool, I got three sets of them, hardly tinkled.
Yes, I believe that, yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. Florida was saved from all of this, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, now let me ask you another question. How often does a storm build power going through land?
No, it does not. It weakens.
Okay, well, how come this one did?
It did.
Do you notice that New York is getting hit? The Northeast is getting
so
hit.
Yeah, they're getting the remnants of Elsa.
They're getting it, and they're getting 4 feet of water flooding and everything else.
You're right.
Okay? Now, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
Yeah, California, Washington, Oregon, getting temperatures of 113 degrees, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable.
How come Florida is sunny, beautiful, plenty of water, temperatures fine? You know why, Paul?
Why?
Because this governor that we've got is doing nothing but common sense. He believes in God, and he's bringing God back into the state of Florida. These other states are seeing all this stuff go on. Guess what?
God has a hand in it.
That's right. And you know what? He's taking them to their knees slowly, Paul.
Hey, you may be right.
Not maybe right. I believe I'm right.
Oh.
People are seeing this and that and everything else, and they're looking the wrong way, buddy. The Lord's already into this, and he's already bringing them to their knees, and they have no idea.
You know, it's been 100 years.
They will.
This is what I find almost unbelievable. It's been 100 years since a hurricane hit Tampa. 100 right. years.
Well, the old saying is that the Indians went into Felipe Park next to Tampa Bay there because for some reason they thought it was the safest place with the weather. And because of Tampa Bay, the temperature is always a little bit different than the Gulf. And it tends to push the storms away from us.
You know, there could be some truth to that. And also, the wind, what do you want to call it? The direction of the wind as it comes up the Gulf Coast and everything tends to blow it kind of away from the, I don't know, it looks like it blows it away a little bit. But it's just like there's a magnet up there, though, in northern panhandle country in Louisiana. It's like storms are drawn towards it. I've always wondered about that.
It's like the headspin of a bowling alley, buddy.
You may be right about that. I was wondering, do you think it's because of the loose living up in New Orleans?
Well, you know what, Paul? I'm not doubting anything right now because I believe the Lord has got his hands in everything right now. And like I said, I can't wait to see the state of Washington, Oregon, and California. He's bringing them to their knees. Even Nevada. Look at Nevada. Okay? Dead. There are crops. We can't. You know what?
So dry out there normally, yeah.
Oh, you know what? Keep going against God. Keep going against what's right for this country. The devil will not win. All you atheists out there, I'm going to be laughing my ass off when you're down on your knees. Because it will happen.
Andrew, you are a card. Hey, listen, I got something for you. One of the guys I really like is Rand Paul, as you may know. He's kind of a libertarian, although he's a Republican.
Great guy.
Yeah. Did you know he's introducing a bill to repeal the mask mandate on planes?
Beautiful. That's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea.
I want to answer a question that you asked earlier in the show. You said Social Security, we don't know what's going to happen with it. Where's the money going to come from? Let me tell you where it should come from. First, they should pay back, what is it, $3 trillion they borrowed from it a long time ago?
There was a so-called... Yeah, no, you're right. There was a so-called trust fund, and it's a misnomer. There was no money in the fund ever. It was just a name that was made up.
What else, Paul?
Yeah.
Let's quit giving this money to the illegals that come in this country, and let's give it to the people that get off their asses and won't go to work that are going to get $300 per kid under Biden. Are they nuts? Take that money from them and give it to the people that earned it and get your little asses out and go to work.
As a matter of fact, I would just say keep the money in your pocket. Don't give it to the government at all.
That's right.
I mean, I think the more that you're allowed to keep, the better off this country will be.
And let me tell you something else. With this lawsuit that's going on with Donald Trump, let me tell you something. Nancy Pelosi's husband bought $11 million worth of stock in big tech, okay?
Yeah.
this is all a bunch of crap, Paul, and it's all going to come down. Let me tell you, Donald Trump has got a calling for this country, just like I have a calling to take care of older people.
You do have a calling.
Somehow it happens. I never planned it, but I've taken care of more old people that are invalids than most caregivers have.
I think you have, okay. And you do it out of a love of your and devotion of your heart.
This is what Donald Trump is with this country, Paul. This man, look at the life he could have, and look what he's doing.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. There has been a poll, and they happen all the time, but it's always kind of fun, interesting, where they ask so-called historical experts, historians, who were the greatest...
Professionals.
Yes, indeed, professionals, so-called. Anyway, who were the greatest presidents? And I think the latest one of the historians has Abraham Lincoln, number one, and it has George Washington, second, which, you know, normally... throughout all the years, those two guys are right there. You know, and typically Thomas Jefferson will be there. But guys like Dwight D. Eisenhower has really risen. I just wanted, I know that you like Donald Trump and everything, but you've seen and heard about a lot of presidents. If you were asked to name your favorite couple of presidents, could you come up with two?
No problem.
Okay, who are they?
Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump.
Okay. So you think Donald Trump is indeed one of the greatest. Would he rank up?
No question about it, Paul.
And he would rank up?
I don't think there's any person that has been president. Donald Trump wasn't a politician. Neither was Eisenhower. He was a general. He said he'd be a part-time president.
Right.
But, for what Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump have done to this country, Paul, they feel the country in their heart. They're not bought by big money. All these politicians are bought by big money. They had money. They didn't have to change their lives. They had a devotion to this country, and it's in their heart. That's why Donald Trump is a winner. And you know what? Florida likes winners.
They do, don't they?
The Lightning and Trump. Let any other state go ahead and say that.
Yeah, the Lightning, also the Bucks.
Okay.
We got a lot of winners. Maybe God is doing something.
Let me tell you something. I don't know if you know this or not, but the governor has a lot of faith in God. Whether you notice or not, he comes from a family that his mother's brother and sister. Okay, the brother is a priest.
Oh.
Sister is a nun.
I did not know that.
They devoted their life to God, and guess whose head was pounded with this stuff?
He was.
That's right.
You know, he's got all the good things. I really mean that. I mean, the guy, that's why I think, I really think he's the golden boy of the Republican Party.
You know why, Paul? Again, called common sense.
Yeah.
The rest of these people are politicians. They got no common sense. They are listening to the professionals. Well, look at Dr. Fucci. He's a professional. He's a professional bullshitter.
Okay. Be careful now. We're on the radio, my friend.
I hear it on the morning shows.
Well, that's not on our show, though. We don't do that. All right.
But anyway.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway, Paul. The kid uses common sense. He's got God in his life. Look at the family man that he is.
He is.
Okay?
He really is.
You bring back the family to this country, you know what? The country will have peace.
I think it always starts with your parents, you know? You're grounded in good. And I've met his dad. I've had the pleasure and the honor of meeting his father. Such a nice man. I think that's why he's probably grounded as well as he is.
I'm telling you, Paul. Between him and Trump, there's a lot of people, and they're being guided. And I tell you what, God is putting pressure on these other states, buddy. And they haven't seen nothing yet, and they're not even looking at it.
Hey, I got
to go right over their heads.
I want to ask you about your haircutting business. Now, people still need to call for their appointment, right?
Yes, sir. We're doing strictly appointments now. The customers like it better. There's no waiting.
That's
right.
Plenty
of parking that way, and it works out good. I can plan my day because I myself don't like to work too much anymore, but I live myself because of my back, you know?
How is your back doing?
My back is doing great, Paul. That was a miracle. I remember that. 5 months, I could not walk. I crippled, Paul. I lost use of my bladder, everything.
Oh, my
here
gosh.
I am. Here I am today going to the gym, working
wonderful.
Out, taking care of old people.
You are.
Five lawns. You know what, Paul?
What?
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
The Lord saved me for a reason. He knew I had duty to do on this earth, and he makes sure I can still do it.
Well, you're doing a wonderful job. I mean it. You're a great Samaritan.
You've helped more than the gentleman you're talking about. I've heard stories about how you've helped other neighbors over the years. You'll go over to their house and do things
for them. Well, it's a calling, Paul.
It really is.
It's a calling, and that's why I'm telling you Trump has got a calling. And like I said, let the forefathers win again against all odds.
Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure, my friend, to talk with you. You keep up your good health and all the good things that you do, and we will be talking with you again on Monday, God willing.
Have a good weekend, Paul.
Thank you so much.
Be with you guys.
Thank you, Andrew. There he goes. He got a couple of four-letter words in there a few times, didn't he? There, we used to do a beep, but we don't do that anymore. A three-seconder, we don't do that anymore, do we? That's all right. Oh, we do it still, huh? Okay. Well, anyway, we're going to take our break, and we're going to do a very clean show when we come back. New York Times is under fire for backing the idea of teaching what they call pornography literacy to first grade students. Can you believe it? We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for joining us. Well, you know, the New York Times wades into all kinds of political things. They've been doing it for over 100 years. But they are really getting themselves in the thick of it right now. There is a woman by the name of Justine Ang Fonte. She's a New York teacher. She's become rather infamous for her sexual education curriculum for children. And she calls herself a sex-positive educator. And she calls her lessons pornography literacy. Now, I get it for college and maybe even for some upper high school kids, if you want to get into topics like this. But when you're talking to first graders, these kids are 6 years old, I'm not so sure. For 7 years, Fonte was the director of health and wellness at the Dalton School. It's on the Upper East Side of New York, Manhattan. And she was invited to teach two Zoom lessons on pornography literacy and consent at the Columbia Grammar and Prep School. Now, these lessons reportedly included some masturbation images, and the parents really got upset with it, especially because of the age of the kids that she was doing. And they eventually forced her to resign. But the Times had a different viewpoint. I'm going to quote them. Pornography literacy classes are supposed to teach students how to critically assess what they see on the screen, but when a sex-positive educator taught her curriculum at two elite New York City schools, some parents were outraged. The Times went on to say, throughout her tenure, Justine Ang Fonte has helped develop an exemplary K-12 health and wellness program. Dalton continues to stand firmly behind this program
and those who teach it. Now, the Times has acknowledged that she's received backlash for teaching this stuff. But the Times noted, quote, multiple sex educators interviewed for this article said there was nothing inappropriate about her classes. I'll tell you what's inappropriate about her classes. These kids know nothing about sex. They're not even yet, they haven't even reached puberty yet. So drop it. Drop it. Teach kids how to spell and write their name and add two and two. And the basics. That's what you're there to do. I mean, come on. How dare you introduce that into a class?
And write cursive.
Yes. How many people can still do that? When was the last time you got a letter in the mail from somebody in cursive?
It had to be somebody as old as I am.
I mean, exactly. It's years and years ago, though. People don't do it anymore. Mm. We type on a keyboard and we email it.
I mean, I write and print because it's...
We all
do. I want to make sure that somebody can read it.
Right.
But if I had to write in cursive, I mean, you do write in cursive when you sign your name, usually.
You do?
Yeah. So.
On a check.
Right. Checks are going away.
You know what? I hate to say this. I see all these basketball and football players in college. If you could just like grab 10 of them, just pluck them from around the country and sit them in a classroom, Ed, and tell them to write a comprehensive paragraph. How many of those 10 do you think would be able to do it? Seriously.
Not many, if any.
Exactly. Now think about that. College-educated sports heroes that can't write a paragraph. That's scary. Absolutely scary. Okay. Anyway, enough about that. Enough preaching. I am very, very pleased that our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning won a second consecutive Stanley Cup. Now, here's my question to you, Ed. How did they manage to avoid the salary cap problems that teams like the Blackhawks and others that had won the Stanley Cup? The first thing that happened the day after everybody was cleaning out their locker was that they knew a couple of their stars were going to be gone, wouldn't be back again.
Well, first of all, I heard some people complaining that they were cheating with the salary cap. It had something to do with Kucherov not playing the regular season until, remember, he didn't come back till the playoffs.
That's right, he didn't.
So they were able to somehow...
Somehow they deferred payment, which was
a lot of money.
I didn't know that.
So, and a couple other things, but, you know what? He's only one guy you gotta answer to, and if he tells you you're doing it okay, you're doing okay, and that's Gary Bettman, who's the commissioner of the NHL.
Yeah.
It's like taxes.
He said there was no hanky-panky.
No, right. And it's like people complaining about Donald Trump's taxes. Hey, if the IRS is good with it, who else do you have to prove
right,
to?
Exactly. Right?
So the same thing with the salary cap. If they're well within their, and believe me, they check. So, lo and behold. This morning we had Paul Porter on, who's the arena voice of the Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
Telling us some good stories and how, he didn't get to bed till like 3:30 that night.
I bet.
And how, everybody's looking forward to next year. And
what do you think next year? Do you think there's a chance they can do three in a row? Wouldn't that be something?
It's going to be a little hard because you got the expansion draft, and they're going to lose a few players, but they are deep. So I don't know if they'll be as good, but maybe as close. Because everybody's going to be a little bit, shy of a full load next year, too, with the expansion draft. So
how many teams are they adding?
I think it's just one. I think it's Seattle Kraken, they calling it.
The Kraken?
Yes.
Okay, that's a mythical monster.
I don't know.
Wow.
That's what they're called.
Very
Kraken.
Interesting. The Kraken. All right. Sounds like something that you put peanut butter on. The Kraken.
I just hope they don't call him Seattle Crack for short.
They might. All right, Ed. We're going to do our top 10. We've been doing the top 10. It's actually the strangest name in every state for a town. And we're all the way down. We're doing it alphabetically. We're now down to New Mexico. So let's go the next 10 here, starting with New Mexico. Drum roll for New Mexico. Pie Town. P-I-E TOWM, Pytown, New Mexico. I take it there's a bakery there.
A few,
okay. Drum roll for New York. Handsome Eddie.
Hey,
there you go.
All right.
Is that why? That's where you were born.
No.
Handsome Eddie, New York.
No.
Weren't you?
No.
Well, seriously, where were you born? You remember?
Well, it's East Meadow, actually.
New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
On Long Island.
Oh, cool. All right. Drum roll for North Carolina. Why not? Why not North Carolina? Can you imagine asking for directions?
Yeah. Why not?
Why not North Carolina?
Why not what? North Carolina. What about it?
Yeah, right.
Who's on first?
Yeah. All right, drum roll for North Dakota. Zap. Z-A-P. I like it. I like it. If you had to write envelopes and this and that, Zap's an easy one. Drum roll for Ohio. Another one-worder. Dull.
Oh, that's
D-U-L-L.
Great.
Maybe that's appropriate.
Nothing's going on there.
Oh, my goodness. Drum roll for Oklahoma. Ah, this one makes sense. Okay. O-K-A-Y. Think about it. Oklahoma, okay, right? Okay.
Can't misspell it.
There you go. Drum roll for Oregon. Boring.
Oh.
No kidding. It's boring. B-O-R-I-N-G. Boring.
I can go with dull.
Exactly. We've got dull Ohio and boring Oregon. What else do we have? We have, and why not North Carolina? Yeah, why not North Carolina? All right, where are we here? Okay, drum roll for Pennsylvania.
Oh, boy.
I don't know why they would have this one. Coupon.
Coupon.
Yeah, C-O-U-P-O-N. Coupon.
Is it coupon or coupon?
Well, it's coupon. Where I came from, we pronounced it coupon.
We did coupon.
Did you pronounce, from the East, is it tomato or tomato?
Tomato.
Okay.
The word that troubles me is, the T used to be silent. Now,
yes.
Obviously, it's not.
Often.
Often.
Yeah, often.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that drives me a little bit nutty, too. All right. Drum roll for, where are we? Rhode Island. Wound socket. W-O-O-N-S-O-C-K-E-T. You stick your finger in a plug, you get a wound socket.
Wound socket.
Okay? All right. Drum roll for South Carolina. Oh, no. Coward.
Oh, boy.
Would you like to live in Coward, South Carolina? Hmm. How do they come up with that? I guess it was a last name, actually. Coward. Uh-huh. You know that.
Right.
There was a great... playwright by the name of Noel Coward. He was English.
Hmm.
So I would guess that's where it came from. Coward, South Carolina. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got 10 more. We'll get them on Monday.
There you go.
We'll be finally over with that. So, Ed, it was a good week, my friend. I got my computer up, a new, let's say refurbished tablet. It's working good. Able to do all my printing. Thank goodness. All righty. We thank you for listening. Oh, by the way, are we going to have our friend from...
no, he moved to Tuesdays, actually.
Oh, Courtesy Kid?
Yeah.
What do we have following the news?
Music.
We have beautiful music following the news. So we'll talk with you on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
Right now, baby.